So I hope you can tolerate a little bit of my breaking from protocol on this standard class, but these are such amazing verses that sometimes they need some other. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. In looking up some information on this, I ran into some different lectures, and this one that I thought was very nice by Srila Prabhupada, and I'm going to read a little bit of it. It was in New York, November 27th, 1966, so it's a while ago. Lord Chaitanya says, Abhideya, Bhakti, Prema, Prayojana. Prayojana, it is necessary. Purushartha, Siramani, Prema, Mahadan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching was based on this principle. Prema Pumarta Mahan. That is the objective. What is the objective of human life? He said that the objective of human life is to obtain love of God. That's all. That makes him perfect. Nothing more. His mission has been described by one of the acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He has studied and he has said that the mission of Lord Chaitanya is Arajayo Bhagavan Varshastanya. Krishna, the Supreme Person of Godhead, is Arajya. Arajya means he is worshipable. He is the only worshipable personality. And as Lord Krishna is worshipable, similarly his place, Brajadam, is also worshipable. And that is, and what is the best kind of worship for Krishna? Now, Ramya Kanchit Upasana Brajabadu Var Renya Va Kopita. The highest worship is demonstrated by the damsels of Braj, the girlfriends of Krishna. Yes, they had no adulteration. Simply, they were always singing of Krishna. Krishna is going outside of the village and they were thinking at home, oh Krishna, I mean to say, the soul is so soft. He is wandering in the jungle. There are so many particles of stone, must be pricking. In this way, Krishna is there, they are at home and they are thinking of Krishna, how he is walking, how his soft foot is suffering in that way. And they were always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. They are not Vedantas, they are not Brahmins, they are not educated, they are cowherd girls. But their love for Krishna was so intense that Lord Chaitanya recommends there is no better worship than that is demonstrated by the damsels of Braj. Then what is the source of understanding Krishna? Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam. If you study the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will attain all these strings. Sri Chaitanya Maha. Sri Chaitanya Maha Maha Idam. And then Prema Pumarta Mohan. So this is what we're actually learning about, that there's many different things that people worship. Generally, the Vedas have broken down into four. And these are things that we think will make us happy. In fact, many people really work hard at these four items because they think this is where their happiness is. But in this particular verse, he's pointing out that there's a fifth. What's the ending on it? Pancho may. Yeah, the pancham purusha. Yeah, the fifth one is this prema pumarta mohan. So what are the four? People are thinking that, not so much now, but previously, that I should be a good person, and I'll follow my dharma, and I'll be happy like that. People have respect for me that, you know, he's a nice person, he follows his moral principles. And but then mostly nowadays, it's artha. People become happy, they think they'll be happy by when they get sufficient money. So they work day and night, not caring for scorching heat or rain or cold all night. Sometimes they work night shift to make some money, because they're thinking this money will make them happy. So there's a connection between happy and worship. We don't make it so much, but it's like that. And then why is the money so important? It's because they want to buy things that will make them happy. The money itself is just a means to buy things. But still, when they make money and they see the numbers in their bank balance go up, they're very excited. And when it goes down, they're very distressed. So that happiness. So then they buy those things that they want to buy. And for a moment, they're seemingly happiness. Like, for instance, a mirage only has its potency because water exists. The mirage has no potency on its own to attract. But because there's such a thing as water, the mirage has so much potency. So in this world, all these items, these are the mirage of the material energy. But they're missing the element of sat. So there's no sat. They don't know that sat is fact. So they have no sat is fact shun. Can't miss that one. So this point is, when one understands that the real happiness, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. So when they get this Prasanatma, or Susukam, this Rajavidya Rajaguyam, Krishna is giving us this information to tell us how we can find happiness. So just like today, it said, by seeing Krishna, by that ecstasy, it drove away in their hearts their pain. So this world, everyone is pained in one way or another. And this is the actual best method of worship that we're being given somehow or other by the combined mercy. That we're here today hearing about the Srimad Bhagavatam, but then we're not out of the woods yet, because there's niyamagraha, there's offenses that will minimize what this opportunity is, unless one is staying sharp. So that's why it's important to understand, do this introspection, to understand why it is that we worship, what it is that is the best happiness for every one of us, because we find Krishna in our heart. He's the Lord of the heart. Or if you say it in a more personal way, he's the Lord of my heart, he's the Lord of your heart. That this is what your heart is being controlled by. And everything is actually working under his direction, Gopi, Jagannath. He's also controlling everything in this universe. Everything is working under that direction. And in a lighthearted way, Krishna could say, well, take as much time as you need to come back to your transcendental senses, to awaken your transcendental senses. So those are some of the basic points that I wanted to make. And just like that verse, I read one more time from the chapter 5, which is action in Krishna consciousness. This is some of your homework. I'll go back two more verses. Because presently, Krishna is explaining. I imagine everybody here studies Bhagavad Gita, or at least reads it from the beginning. And the first part explains how the pretty much the first instruction that Krishna gives is never there was a time you did not exist. You're eternal. So if you take just that first instruction, and then he explains you're changing bodies, then that gives you a basis to understand with a little shraddha that we're not these bodies, we're changing bodies, and there's two things that are going on. There's the illusion and there's transcendence. And we're being given the opportunity to cultivate this transcendental science by sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, by learning what is our relationship with Krishna and acting that way and approaching this transcendental goal of life. So as long as one doesn't apply the transcendental aspect in his life, then sometimes they're explained as a kripana, someone who's miserly. He's got the human form of life, but for neglect, inattention, for some reason or another, he's not taking the matter seriously. So in order to take it seriously, you need to associate with similar-minded or devotees that are taking it serious. And that's the reason we come to the temple. It says if you can go to a place of pilgrimage, but you don't inquire, you don't take the association of those advanced souls that live there, goats, so Eva Gokara, I mean, you're just an ass or a cow. I mean, it's kind of harsh, but that's the reality is that this human form of life, Durlabha Manasa Janma, it's very rare, and even though it's temporary, like other bodies, it's meaningful. Because, and one should start the process of Krishna consciousness from the tender age of childhood so he can understand what's going on in this world. This world is always going to trick us. So just like Krishna explained that we're not this body, that's the start. One has to hold that in his foundation. And then he explains it, how to tolerate it. And this, now that was text 14 and 15, you can be liberated simply by just tolerating while you're hearing. So not just tolerating, but here it says, such in this tolerance, you can become liberated. He's not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, he self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. So what are you concentrating on? So of course we know the nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam, Etavad Eva Jignasyam, which helps me with that. It says that you're supposed to connect everything to reality. And then if you go back two more verses, he says if you don't connect it with reality, it's just an illusion. And then the one in the middle, 35, he's explaining that he's in everything and he's outside of everything. So that mystery is revealed in the transcendental development of your Krishna consciousness. That Krishna, he's present everywhere and he's not present everywhere. So the not present everywhere is by the fruit of mentality. But with the devotional mentality, then Krishna is present everywhere. Prema, premanjana. He's actually seen that. So we say, Jagannatha Swami, Narayana Patagami, Bhava Tume. So Krishna, he's always present, even in acts of sacrifice. He says, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. We sacrifice chanting the holy name, which is the sacrifice for this age, and Krishna's personally present there. So what's stopping us from seeing? At least one should inquire, if he's not seeing Krishna, why not? Why not? If you just inquire, it sets up all the prerequisites to be given to you by Krishna in time. Because just like, is it 438, is it? Maybe 438. Let's see. Maybe not. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was. How about that? I turned it. In this world, there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who becomes accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. So one has to always be approaching and questioning. These questions have to be coming one after another, because you're given this chance. And a little inattention, it's like a razor's edge. It says, with a little inattention, then there can be a mishap, there can be blood. And we see that unless one is careful, devotional service loses its effervescence, its fizz, its ever-fresh sweetness. So that was, so 21 was such a liberated person. So he's liberated simply by his a little bit of faith and hearing. And then he says the intelligent person, he doesn't take part in the sources of misery. So this is how he's tolerating. He's understanding the picture. He's understanding that of transcendental knowledge and the process of nescience side by side. And what that deliver? He enjoys the full blessings of immortality. So that's for all of us. All of us have that opportunity to understand the process of nescience and that of knowledge side by side. Just like in that Etavadevijignatsyam verse, it says, one is searching after the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. He has to search it out up to this. When? In all time and all space. How? Both directly and indirectly. So the directly is devotional service, the transcendental science of Krishna consciousness. And indirectly, that's the Maya. That's the process of nescience. He has to see both of those things side by side. Then, well, there's actually one more. I'd like to put a third column. There's two columns, the process of nescience and that transcendental knowledge side by side. But there's one more column that I'd like to put in the middle. Who knows what column that would be? Okay. Well, I'll give a hint. Let's call the process of nescience the external potency. And the process of knowledge, the internal potency. So what's between the external potency and the internal potency? The marginal potency. That's where we come in. Okay. So that's our choice. So this is the full blessing. Being able to see external, internal, simultaneously. And the only way you can do that is by chanting Hare Krishna, at least clearing the offenses. The offensive stage, that won't manifest. The clearing stage, one is liberated. You'll see that. He says, an intelligent person, he doesn't take part in the sources of misery. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. So he says, why not? He says, he doesn't take part in the sources of miseries, which are due to contact with the material senses. So which column would that be under? That's under the external energy. O son of Kunti, such pleasures are beginning and end. The wise man does not delight in them. He says, before giving up this present body, which we don't know when, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and he's happy in this world. So we have to connect up happy and worship in our heart, so we find the Lord of our heart, understanding Krishna like that. And then the verse that I read earlier, which I'm circling back to, one whose happiness is within, it's the only place actually you're going to find it, who is active. So how do you be active within? What does that mean to be active within? If we don't know how to be active, how are we going to do it? So we got to know how to be active within. Who rejoices within? That sounds good too. He's happy, he's active, he's rejoicing, and whose aim is inward is actually the perfect mystic. He's liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. But of course, you know, for me, I always look at the word Supreme in a particular way. I don't know if it's just me, but it really works for me. And I look at it as a Sanskrit word, su meaning best, prem, best love. So we're actually worshiping the best love that's situated in our hearts. Prema, nitya siddha Krishna prem. That all of us, this is what's in our heart. This is what we're actually made of, is this nitya siddha Krishna prem. We simply have to find it, and that's the process that we're following today. So I thank you very much for your attention, and I hope that it was useful for you as much as it was for me to try to prepare this. Krishna really has me think of about a lot of things that I don't always think about. So thank you. We'll take any questions or comments. I got the mic.
Nagaraj Prabhu in his class, I hope I don't misremember and misquote him, but he was explaining that the gopis, they were not hankering after their own pleasure, they were trying to give pleasure to Krishna. So he was making it a point to explain that this was pure love, they just wanted to give Krishna pleasure. You mentioned about happiness and internal, the process is joyful, easily performed. And my experience is that I'm getting some little pleasure in Krishna consciousness, and so that spurs me to pursue it more. But then I'm wondering, is that the right way? I'm getting pleasure, so I want to do it more, so I can get more pleasure. What's the difference between this and the gopis not wanting any selfish pleasure, but selflessly wanting to give pleasure to Krishna?
The simple answer is realization. Actually, they're not different. In other words, you're feeling this happiness. Where is this happiness coming from? Do you know that, like, there's different words that we have. Vishvambar, Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya. They're maintainer of this universe. So, how happy Krishna is that you're finding happiness in thinking about him. You know, like, we can always go into relationships to think that sometimes you may look over and you'll see somebody and you smile. So when you smile because you see the other person, does the other person who sees that you smile happy to see that you smile when you saw them? So you are happy just to see them, but they're happy that you're happy. Isn't that a fact? They're, because there's a relationship there, right? So, similarly, as we're actually experiencing, when you see devotees smiling, it's not always just because prasadam is good or the tune is good. There's something of the internal potency. You're not smiling from, devotional service is spiritual. You see the deities, you smile. You hear Bhagavatam, you smile. But these senses are a different set of senses. You know, the material senses can't see the deity. The material senses can't hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. The material senses can't enjoy chanting Hare Krishna. Isn't it? I mean, if you go up to a materialistic person, what will they see when they see the deities? What will they hear when they're chanting? You know, it's subtle. You know, it's a subtle idea. But as you advance, as we all are understanding the different degrees, then we're seeing right now this is pleasing to Prabhupada and Krishna, that you're advancing. Prabhupada, he once was asked by book distributors trying to have Prabhupada say something specific. He said, "What will please you the most, Prabhupada?" And they're waiting for that answer. And he says, "As you become Krishna conscious, that's what's the most pleasing to Prabhupada." So as you're chanting and you're feeling some happiness from chanting and feeling some happiness from studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's happy with that. Prabhupada's happy with that. He didn't give us these books just for selling. He wanted us to read. And there's a nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he says, "When I see the whole universe becomes happy, then my desire is satisfied. The Vedas, they're all designed to make one happy. They're starting at different places." So this happiness and worship, they're very closely related. It's just we've separated them now because of the way that the churches have captured the word, and it takes on a different meaning. But the actual point is, what you find your happiness in is what you actually serve. And worship is a variation of service, you know, the way that language changes. So as we purify our intelligence with philosophy from the Bhagavatam, we get to see that, yes, these are different ways that the materialists try to find happiness, money, duty, buying things, sense gratification. But we're understanding that that won't actually make us happy. Gradually. I mean, it's a tough lesson to get through, because when you get a good deal and you buy something, it certainly seems like you're happy for a moment, you know, but it doesn't last, you know, battery's worn out or something. There's a new model that comes out the next year, a bill comes. But gradually we're understanding how the word heart is used, the Lord of the heart, situated in the heart, and we gradually will find where our own heart is. Most of the time we don't access it very much. We're most of the time in our heads and trying to adjust different things. But if we make that connection, then we can find that actually what it means that Krishna is the Lord of our heart. And then it's a transcendental adventure. Is that all right? Any other questions or comments? Jai. All glories of Prabhupada.